Come on, let's just thank Him. Thank Him. Thank You. Thank You. Thank You. Oh, we worship You, Jesus. Thank You. Thank You. Thank You. Thank You. You'll never leave us. You'll never forsake us. Thank You for being forever with us. Oh, we're so grateful. So grateful. So grateful. So grateful. You're so worthy. So wonderful. So amazing. Praise You. 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 Oh, thank You. Thank You. Thank You. Thank You. Thank You. Oh. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, we bless You, we praise You. We worship You, we worship You, we worship You. We thank You for drawing near to us this morning, Lord, as we draw near to You right now. Thank You for enveloping us, wrapping Your arms around us, loving us like You do, taking care of us, Father. We just, by faith, absorb Your love. Ah, we absorb it, Lord. Hallelujah. Ooh. Oh, thank You. Thank You for changing us. Thank You. Thank You, Father. Oh, we worship You. We worship You. We worship You. So worthy. So worthy. So worthy. Come on, tell Him how worthy He is this morning. Tell Him how worthy He is this morning. Oh, You're worthy, 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 worthy. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy, worthy, worthy. Oh, oh, hallelujah. Glory to God. The Lord is good. He's worthy, worthy of our worship, worthy of our praise. Why don't you declare it? Say, the Lord reigns in me. He reigns over me, and He reigns in me. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The Lord is good. Amen. Praise God. You may return to your seat, turn around, love on somebody. Tell them the Lord loves you. Thank You, thank You, thank You, Lord. Yes, Jesus loves me. Thank God He does. Woo! Lord is good. Why don't we open in our Bibles this morning to Matthew, the 26th chapter. Matthew 26. We are in a series on the communion. And again, that feels like a long time ago. But you know, I believe that is because of God doing such a big work, especially in the men that were here this past week. You know, God can do so much in us that it makes it feel like it's been a long time since, you know, a week ago was a long time ago. Because He's done so much in us, and I think we usually think that a lot of stuff happening, it means a lot of time. So, but a lot of things can happen in the Spirit. It doesn't require a lot of time. But it feels like a lot of time has passed because so much has happened. But it was just a week. Praise the Lord. Matthew 26. And every time I go in this thing, I get more. So we've spent the last couple weeks on talking about the bread that is used in communion, symbolic of the Lord's body. And we've been at it for a couple weeks, and we're not quite done yet. There's still a little bit more to get. Could you imagine that? How many know God's word is eternal? It's an eternal word. And, you know, you can go back to it and think you saw everything that there is there, but then you look and there's more. And there's more, because God keeps showing you things. He keeps showing you things. He keeps showing you things. So, but we talked about how bread is used for the nourishment and the sustaining of our bodies. It's also something we do that is enjoyable. We enjoy eating. And Jesus says, "This is my body." And he's using bread, symbolizing himself, his body. And he is saying there to us that he is the nourishment and the one that sustains our lives. So we need to feed on him. We need our daily bread. We need to continuously be communing in fellowship and in partaking of the Lord's body. Of the Lord's body. And as we do, we'll find ourselves being strengthened. And again, it's an enjoyable thing. It's not a grudging thing. If you're doing it grudgingly, then you're not in faith about it. You're missing the whole thing. But the Lord is great. He's enjoyable and pleasurable, and he's wonderful. And it's exciting to be able to partake of the Lord. So Jesus, here in Matthew 26, 26, it says, "And as they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed it, and broke it, and gave it to the disciples and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body.' Then he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, 'Drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins.'" So Jesus, he is the bread of life, and he feeds our spirit. More than just feeding the physical man, we need to feed the spiritual man. But of course, what we eat naturally is important too, and we covered that in the first segment. And so we do want to read the ingredients on the things that we put in our body, because there's a lot of deceptive food out there. And we need to be reminded of that regularly. This whole world's full of deception. And there's a lot of things out there that a lot of people are eating and calling it breakfast, calling it lunch, calling it dinner. And it is not fit for human consumption. It's not fit for human consumption. So just because it tastes good and it looks pretty in the package, that doesn't mean you put it in your mouth. You've got to guard yourself from the deceptive ways of the devil as he works through greedy men to give you things that will not nourish your body, will not sustain your body, but will wreak havoc in your body over time. You know, the body, it's amazing how strong God has made the human body. I mean, it is so endurable. It's amazing what it can put up with. And so now you add your faith to that, and you follow the leading of the Spirit of God, and you use wisdom in what you eat, and man, we will live long and strong on the earth, no problem. The devil will try to put fear in us, try to tempt us to die prematurely, but we just pass that temptation up. And we decide, no, I'm going to live long and strong. Hallelujah. But, you know, if you keep putting junk in, you're going to have to use more and more of your faith to correct things that go wrong in your body. So that's why I just like eating right, and then I don't have to use so much of my faith on keeping myself healthy and sustaining my life. Thank God, if you do mess up and your body does have problems because of it, you can use your faith to overcome it. But, you know, there's a lot of other things we can be using our faith on, like laying hands on the sick that they might recover, using our faith to be a blessing to other people and to be able to fulfill the ministry God has called each and every one of you to. You want to use your faith for those things. You don't want it all tied up in repairing what you're breaking down. So we're believing for something to be fixed up, but at the same time we're doing things to tear it down. So that's why we need to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit and consider carefully what is set before us, before we manja. Can you say amen? All right, I went back off on that again. Hallelujah. But thank God we needed it. Can you say amen? And then he took the bread and he blessed it. He blessed it. Now, what is this bread? Well, this bread, he said, is symbolic of his body, of himself. And so, what did he do to it? He blessed it. Jesus blessed himself. Jesus blessed himself. That's what he did there when he blessed it. He blessed himself. And friend, you and I through Jesus now can bless ourselves. We don't have to just wait around for a blessing to fall on us from heaven. We can just go ahead and bless ourselves in the name of the Lord. That was a squeaky amen. Why don't we go to Isaiah 65 and help you to see that in the Word of God. Isaiah, especially after you get past the 60th chapter. Oh, wow. Isaiah is, he sees so clearly and speaks so clearly of our redemption in Christ Jesus. Again, this is hundreds of years before Jesus even came. And the prophet Isaiah, he is describing Jesus. He's describing what Jesus is going to accomplish. He describes the church. He describes the kind of things you and I are going to have today, and we do have today through Jesus Christ. He sees all these things, and here in Isaiah 65, in verse 16, so that, this is talking about the day and hour we live in today. He's looking ahead. He says, so that he who blesses himself in the earth shall bless himself in the God of truth. Don't you love that? He who blesses himself in the earth. Are you in the earth? Yeah, you're here in the earth. And you know what you can do? You can bless yourself. Now let me ask you this. Can you bless your food? You can? Oh, so you have the power to actually do something to your food. Right? You have the power to sanctify your food and drive curses out of that thing and cause that thing to be blessed. Just make sure it's food. I'm not sure what we do with the chemicals. Got to use our faith to overcome that. But we bless that food, don't we? And we expect something to happen. We expect that food, if there was anything in there that would harm us, if there's any kind of bacteria or some kind of thing in there that would try to mess us up, because we know we live in a cursed earth. The earth is under a curse right now. Jesus is going to come back and fix all that. The earth is under a curse, but thank God you and I aren't. We're in the blessing. We're in the blessing. So in the name of Jesus, we can bless that food and eat it with confidence, knowing, praise God, I am redeemed from the curse. There's no curse in this food. He blesses my bread and water and takes sickness from the midst of me. But he blesses it when I bless it. In other words, I'm speaking over my food, and when I do, it's as though God is speaking over that food. Because I do it in the name of the Lord. I do it in the name of the Lord. I do it in the name of the Lord. I bless that food, praise God. So if you eat 90% of the food and all of a sudden you see there's something in it that the chef dropped in it or fell out of the chef's hat, and you don't have to get all grossed out. You can go, glory to God, I blessed it. That's the most blessed piece of hair you've ever seen right there. You don't have to worry. That's the point. Oh, no. Oh, I feel I'm getting sick. Oh, I'm getting sick. Look what's in my food. Oh, I'm getting... No, you're not going to get sick. You're blessed. Did you bless it? Yes. Then whatever it is can't hurt you. Come on. He said if you drink any deadly thing. Didn't he say that, Mark 16? Any deadly thing, it'll by no means hurt you. But it's not automatic. We've got to use our faith. So we bless our bread, we bless our water, we bless our food, and something happens to it. Well, praise God, don't stop with the food, glory to God. Bless yourself in the name of the Lord. Empower yourself to prosper. Empower yourself to increase. Empower yourself with the strength of the Almighty God and declare, I bless myself in the name of the Lord of hosts. I am strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. And it don't matter what happens, praise God, no weapon formed against me will prosper. I'm blessed. You can't bless whom God has cursed. Huh? Caught you on that one. You can't curse whom God has blessed. Hallelujah. Isn't that good news? You can't curse whom God has blessed. I'm too blessed to be cursed. Years ago, I met up with a woman who was in witchcraft. And anyway, I was able to connect with her. I wanted an opportunity to minister to her. And she started telling me about her high priest, and he probably knows we're talking right now. And she was in fear. And I ministered to her and ended up leading her to the Lord, and she got saved. Praise God. I was driving away, and the devil reminded me of that. And he said, that high priest, Satanist high priest. I'm not talking about Aaron. That Satanist high priest, you know, he's putting a curse on you right now. And I just shouted out, I'm too blessed to be cursed. You can't curse whom God has blessed. Hallelujah. And you got to have confidence in that. We're walking through a cursed earth. People curse it all the time. People curse you out on the road. People curse you here and there. And you just turn around and just bless yourself. And know that if you bless yourself, it don't matter what everybody else is saying. You are blessed. You're blessed. Praise God. You got the final word in your own. You got the final say-so in your own life. No, it doesn't matter. They're all talking about it. What are you talking? You're talking about them talking. So you believe that they're able to curse you. I believe I'm able to bless me. And I do it in the name of the Lord, not in the flesh. They curse me in the flesh. What do you think is going to stand? The blessing of the Lord or the curse of the flesh? The curses are real. Thank God we don't have to fear them. We can bless ourselves. Jesus blessed himself. Blessed himself. And that's why, even though they did what they did to him, by nailing him to that tree and torturing him and killing him, he still came up out of that grave after 3 days. He still defeated hell and the grave, praise God. Why? Because he had blessed himself. We need to start blessing ourselves. If you can bless your food, you can bless other people. And friend, you can bless yourself. So start laying hands on yourself. Speak to yourself. Got anything going on in your body? Say, just bless me in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. And the blessing of the Lord, the Bible says, makes rich and adds no sorrow with it. Glory to God. Somebody say, I'm blessed. And then after he blessed the bread, he broke it. And we talked about how over in Isaiah 53:10, how Jesus, he himself broke the bread. He broke himself. In other words, he gave himself as a sacrifice for us. He wasn't taken by the devil. He said, nobody takes my life from me. I lay it down. He was smitten by God and afflicted. Smitten by who? God. And who's Jesus? He's God in the flesh. That's who he is. So he blessed it, and then he broke it. He gave his life as a, and then it says he gave it. He gave his life as a sacrifice. And the giving is a gift. It was something that was freely given to us. His life was freely given to us. We don't get saved by our good works. Being in church this morning ain't going to save you. The Bible says that we are saved by grace through faith. We're saved by the grace of God. It's a gift from God. Our salvation, our deliverance, our healing, all these things. They're not things we earn. We don't earn them. And the devil, he's very crafty, you know. He'll come and he'll say, now you're not going to get sick because after all, you spend all this time in prayer. You spend all this time in the Bible. You're not going to get sick. And I'll speak right up. I know it's the devil. Devil, see, he's trying to throw that little pride in there. He'll do these kind of things. See, he'll come in there and try to sneak that kind of thing in there. And I'll just rise up and say, I don't get sick not because I prayed. I don't get sick because Jesus freely redeemed my life from sickness. It's got nothing to do with my praying. It's got nothing to do with my reading the Bible. It has everything to do with what Jesus did. Now, my praying and reading the Bible is helping me to keep my faith strong to receive that. But it's the grace of God. It's the grace of God. It's the gift of God. You can't let the devil pull those kind of things on you where he says, well, now you've earned it, or you've earned this beating, you've earned this sickness, you've earned these problems. You know, you've earned all these things. No, no. It's not about what I've earned. It's about what he freely has given me. He has freely given this to me. It's not based on my righteousness. Thank God. Aren't you glad? Hallelujah. So he gave it, and then he said, take eat. Take, eat. So God, even though he gives us everything, we need to take it. Take it. We need to receive it. And when you look up the word receive in the Greek, in the New Testament, it also will mean take. Take and receive are used interchangeably in the Word of God. When we receive from God, we're taking it. We're taking it. And Jesus said, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them or take them and you will have them. So he's given us his body. He's given us his life as a sacrifice. He has provided all these great things for us. But if we're just kind of passive about it and we say, well, whatever God wants to do, he can do it. And we just kind of, well, if God wants to make it happen, it'll happen. It'll never happen. It'll never happen. You got to reach out and take it. And faith takes. Faith takes. It takes it and it'll take it violently, energetically. It'll take it by force because it knows it. This belongs to me. There's no doubting in faith. There's no wavering about it. It's like, this is mine. This is mine. And faith, like a shield, will resist some things too and say, no, that's not mine. No, that's the devil's. That don't belong on me. That doesn't come into my life. I will not have this problem in the name of Jesus. And you resist the wrong and you take what's right. You say, I believe it. Praise God, it's mine. Hallelujah. And you'll see that. We went through several scriptures last week as we closed things up. Went through several scriptures in the book of Acts about how the Holy Spirit now has been poured out and everything now has to be received. We receive the Holy Spirit. They received the Word of God. They received the brethren. They received, they received, they received. A lot of times Christians are still in the God give it mode. God give it. God come down. Come down and give it to me, Jesus. Come down and do it, God. And you know, we need to rise up and say, thank you, Lord. Thank you that that belongs to me. I take it. I take it. Don't get me wrong. Sometimes I'll cry and just be broken before the Lord in just an attitude of submitting myself to him and recognizing I need him. And it'll help me to get over into that place of faith. Humility helps me to get into faith. I recognize how big and wonderful God is and how little I am and how I can't do anything on my own and I need him. Oh, God, I need you, and I need you. And they worship him with a humble heart, contrite, broken spirit, not broken down, but broken of pride and arrogance, broken of the flesh, praise God. And we'll just cry before the Lord. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you. And then you just feel that closeness to him, and you know what belongs to you. And, Lord, thank you that you took that pain and you took that poverty and you took that problem and you took that thing and you took this and I thank you took it and I'm free of it and you've redeemed me from it and I thank you that by your stripes I'm healed and in the name of Jesus, I receive it. I take it, praise God. I take the strength and the power and the blessing of God that belongs to me in Christ Jesus. We don't just stay there like just a wishy-washy, praise God. We take by faith what God has given to us. So you're taking things. That was really something weak. Are you taking things? Yes. You know, it starts with your talk. You take by talking. You got to talk the word. You got to talk the truth. You got to talk God talk. And in your talking God talk, you're taking the blessing of God for your life. But you got to talk God's talk to take the blessing. Let's all say that together. See, you got to talk the talk to take the blessing of God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Yes, you do. You got to open your mouth. You got to start talking it. That's why we like people saying amen. Because what is amen? Yes, so be it. Praise God. Yes, so be it. Ha! You're taking when you're talking. You're not just making noise. That's a bunch of noisy people in that church. Yeah. And we're blessed. We're blessed. Some of the biggest talkers are the biggest blessed ones. Not always. Not always. But sometime. Because you just do it in church, oh, no, that's not good. You could start in church, we could practice in church, but don't stop in church. Stay talking the talk. So he says, don't talk the talk, walk the walk. Well, you got to talk the talk before you can walk the walk. Because your tongue is like the rudder to a ship. In other words, it's the rudder to your feet. If you're going to walk in a certain direction, you got to talk it first. Before God did anything, he said, and God said, let there be, and God said, let there be. And the Holy Spirit did the walking, made it all happen. But it was after God the Father did the talking. Can you say amen?
Amen.
So someone say, I'm taking it.
I'm eating it.
I'm enjoying it.
Hallelujah.
All right. Then it says, he took the cup. Verse 27. Then he took the cup. Gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. Now, let's go down a little bit further in verse 36, where we see now Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane, knowing that his betrayer is coming with a mob of people to arrest him and then to take him and torture him. And ultimately crucify him. He knows that that hour has come. And it says in verse 36, then Jesus came with them to the place called Gethsemane. And said to the disciples, sit here while I go and pray over there. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee. And he began to be sorrowful and deeply distressed. This is our Lord Jesus. Notice, sorrowful. Deeply distressed. You know, the Bible's trying to help get it over to us. He's just not a little uptight. He is deeply distressed. Then he said to them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch with me. And he went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed. He didn't just kneel down. He fell. He's desperate. He is exceedingly sorrowful. Jesus is hurting like you have never hurt before. And we've all hurt. We all know what it's like to experience emotional, mental pain. And before the physical pain of that cross and the torture that went even before that, Jesus is experiencing emotional and mental anguish like we have never known before. You say, how do you know it's like we've never known before? Because over in the book of Hebrews, it tells us that he resisted the temptation to not go to the cross. He was tempted to get out of this. He knew what was awaiting him. And it was more than just the cross. You understand? He understood that once he died, he was going to now descend down into the heart of the earth and take the full wrath of God for sin upon himself. He was going to experience what mankind, all of mankind, was to experience in eternity as a result of sin. Jesus took the full wrath and judgment for sin upon himself. And he was going to be separated from the Father. He knew this was coming. And he was dreading it. To the point where the Bible says he was breaking blood vessels in his body so that his blood mingled with his sweat. His blood mingled with his sweat. The Bible says he resisted to the point of shedding blood. And they say there, that is an actual possibility that, you know, medical science will tell you that you can get to that point of stress where you break blood vessels and your sweat mingles with your blood. So it looks like you're bleeding, and you are, but it's sweat and blood mixed together. That's the point that of stress that Jesus got to. He fully comprehended what was going to happen to him. He didn't, it wasn't like, I think something bad's going to happen. He had a full comprehension of everything he was about to face. And he did this willingly. He did this for you. Don't tell me God doesn't love you. This is what he did for you. And God's heart has not changed. Jesus is still the same today, just as he was back in that garden that night. So here he is, exceedingly sorrowful. He's asking his disciples, stay here and watch with me. He has the 12, or the 11 actually, and then he takes three that were closer to him, and he brings them a little further, because there's some things he can do with them that the others wouldn't understand. These three were obviously a little bit more spiritual than the others. And so they understood things some more. So he took them a little further, but then he got to a point where he knew there was just some things, only he and the Father can do this thing together. There was some things that, you know, there's, thank God for praying together. Getting together with a group, we call it corporate prayer, Tuesday night corporate prayer, and praying before serving people, get together and pray, and we need to have those kind of prayer times. But then there's some things, friend, it's just going to have to be you and God. You're going to have to get with God. You're going to have to get in a secret place. You're going to have to get alone with him to get some things, to get the kind of help, the kind of strength, the kind of answers that you need in life. And so Jesus took the three as far as he could take them. Then he knew he had to get alone with the Father. So he says, now you stay here and watch and pray. You see how much he wanted to feel the strength of their presence. He just wanted their comfort. He wanted them to be there for him. He went a little bit further. Verse 39, fell on his face and praying, saying, oh my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. He's asking the Father, there's any way out of this, but yet, knowing that the Father will give him whatever he asks for, he puts that little clause in there and says, nevertheless, ultimately I want what you want. So if this isn't, if you want me to do this, I will drink this. I will drink this cup. It's the cup he's talking about, isn't it? Notice what he refers to. There's any possible way, let this cup pass from me. This is a horrible cup. He does not want to drink this cup. Verse 40, then he came to the disciples and found them asleep. So of course that hurts. You really feel isolated. You really feel alone. He says, what? What? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And he's recognizing that for their own sake, they got to stay up and pray now. Because he knows what's coming. Jesus knows what's coming. They don't know. They don't have a foggiest idea. They're completely out of touch. Even though he's warned them, even though he has said things to them, they're completely oblivious to it. Because there's certain things we need to get revelation on. Just hearing it audibly with our ears and ingesting it intellectually is not going to be enough for a lot of things. We've got to discern. There's things we have to discern. We have to recognize the Spirit of God will warn us of things if we're sensitive to him. And a lot of times it'll go against our mind. It'll say everything's great, everything's wonderful, peace and safety, everything's wonderful. That's what our minds can be telling us. But we discern. We're listening to the voice of Jesus. We're following the Holy Spirit. And we have spiritual discernment. And it keeps us ready for whatever comes. Because stuff comes. We're in a cursed earth. Things happen. But we don't have to be caught off guard. And we have to be devastated. We don't have to be devastated by what happens. But Jesus knows the key to that is what? Praying and watching. Watching and praying. Looking for God. Watching for what he has to say, listening for him, and praying. A lot of times when things are going good, we feel like we don't have to pray. But we need to watch and pray, because we're in a cursed earth, and we don't know what's around the corner. Thank God we can always be ready. I don't have to be afraid of what's around the corner. A lot of folks even saying that. It's like, what's around the corner? Yeah, what could be around the corner? Who cares? Watch and pray, and you're going to be all right. Watch and pray. You'll have everything you need to be able to go through it. And go through it blessed. And anything that happens around the corner, praise God, it turns around for our good. Becomes a testimony of our faith. But they didn't do it. They just didn't take it serious. Watch and pray lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went away again a second time and prayed, saying, "Oh, my Father, if this cup cannot pass away from me unless I drink it, your will be done." So again, the thing that he is dreading is this cup. What is this cup? Well, we come back again to Isaiah. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 51. Isaiah 51, verse 17, "Awake, awake." That's what he's trying to do to his disciples, right? He's trying to get them to wake up. Can't you guys stay awake and pray? Now hear the prophet Isaiah prophesying these things, but it's to the whole church. "Awake, awake, stand up, O Jerusalem." Now, this isn't just the city of Jerusalem and Israel. The Bible in the book of Hebrews again tells us that we are the Jerusalem of God spiritually. That was what God was doing naturally in the earth, but the church is what he's doing spiritually in the earth. All right, both are important to God. "Awake, awake, put on your..." verse 17. "Stand up, O Jerusalem, you who have drunk at the hand of the Lord the cup of his fury." The what? The cup. The cup of his fury. "You have drunk the dregs of the cup of trembling and drained it out." You've drunk this whole thing. You drank the whole thing. Notice in jump down to verse 22. Go back to verse 21. Verse 21. "Therefore, please hear this, you afflicted and drunk, but not with wine." Now, naturally speaking, what did Jesus have in that cup at the Last Supper? It was wine, right? It was wine, but it was a type of his blood. It was a type of his blood. And he dreaded this cup. He feared it. Isaiah tells us exactly what it is. He says, yeah, it's not about the wine. It's the cup of the Lord's fury. It is the wrath of God for sin. Sin is a serious thing. I got news for you. Sin is still as serious today under the new covenant as it is in the old covenant. The only difference today is that we've got a solution to the sin problem. Thank God. But sin is serious business. Sin has to be judged. Sin experiences separation from God. Sin receives God's fury. And it doesn't matter if you categorize it as a little sin or a big sin, a white lie, or any other kind of lie. If it's a lie, if it's deception, if it's sin, it's wicked, it's an abomination to God, and it will receive the full wrath of God's fury. It has to. Just one sin will receive it all. So sin is a serious thing. We don't want to be like, "Well, I'm a saved Christian. Once saved, always saved. Praise God. Doesn't matter how I live my life. Doesn't matter how I talk, how I walk. None of those things matter. Praise God. Jesus saved me." Now, that's nice. You live in sin, you're going to be judged. The Bible tells that. New Testament. You'll be judged. If you don't judge yourself. How do you judge yourself? You repent and you receive or take what Jesus did for you. What did he do for you? He drank the cup. He drank the cup of God's fury for sin. He drank it. It became a part of him. What was in that cup? Every kind of curse, every kind of affliction, every kind of horrific thing you can imagine. All of hell was in that cup. All of hell was in that cup. That's why Jesus dreaded it. He said, if there's any way, this cup can pass from me. He's sweating, as it were, droplets of blood. He's tormented over this. He understands what he's about to drink. Verse 22, thus says the Lord and your God who pleads the cause of his people. See, I have taken out of your hand the cup of trembling. Notice all these names that the Bible's giving to this cup. The cup of fury. Being drunk with the dregs of the cup of trembling. Here again, he calls it the cup of trembling. The dregs of the cup of my fury. You shall no longer drink it. But I'll put it into the hands of those who afflict you, who have said to you, lie down that we may walk over you, and you have laid your body like the ground and as the street for those who walk over. You've just made yourself a victim. You're just succumbing and saying, it's God's will for my life that I'm afflicted. God has called me to be afflicted so I could glorify him in this affliction. And you're lying down under this affliction while the devil walks, while all hell walks right all over you. He says, no. He says, you don't have to be drunk with that. You don't have to drink it. Thank God we don't have to drink it. Why? Jesus drank it for me. Jesus drank it for me. He did do it. He said, this is my blood. This is my blood. That's what he said was in the cup. It was his blood. Well, over in Leviticus, the Bible tells us that Leviticus 17:11, it says, for the life of the flesh is in the blood. The life of the flesh is in the blood. So Jesus is saying, this is my blood. This is my life. What about it? It has become a curse for you. It has taken upon itself the full wrath and fury of God upon itself. It has taken the full judgment of God upon itself. And he says, drink it. But before he does that, he does something else. He gives thanks for it. Remember that? Took the cup, he gave thanks. Or in other words, again, he blessed it because whatever you thank God for, you place God's blessing on. Whatever you thank God for, you place God's blessing on. So he took this curse of a cup. This cup that's full of all of the curses that hell can offer a person for sin. And it became his life. And he blessed it before he gave it to his disciples. Why? He don't want them drinking a curse. He don't want them drinking the curse. So he took it. He drank the curse for us at the cross. But here at the Last Supper, before he gives it to them, he blesses it. Quickly turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter. The cup of trembling, the cup of fury, the cup of God's wrath for sin. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 16. Cup has changed. Jesus blessed it. And it says in verse 16, the cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? Notice the wording there in verse 16. The cup of what? The cup of blessing. That we bless. Talking about communion. Talking about this same cup. So here, Jesus takes this cup, and this cup is the curse for sin. He takes that. He drinks that for us. He took that at the cross. But then he blesses it, turns around, and says, now drink of my blood, drink of my life. And it's no longer a curse to us. It's a blessing to us. It's no longer a curse, praise God. It's a blessing to us. Woo! Glory to God. We're blessed through Jesus Christ. We're blessed. Galatians chapter 3, verse 13. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree. He became cursed for us. He didn't want to drink that, but he did it for the Father, and the Father did it for us. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever would put their faith in him would have life everlasting, and all their sins would be washed away. Sin is a serious thing. It's a serious, look what it took to free us of it. Not something we want to play around with. When you understand what he did for you to set you free from the sin and to redeem you from the curses that come with every sin, when you understand that, you will despise sin. And when the devil tries to tempt you and offer you to it, when you keep on your mind what the Lord has done for you and you understand what that sin represents and what's behind that sin, all of hell, you'll say, no thank you. In the name of Jesus, I don't want any part of that. I don't want any part of that. You will despise it. You will turn from it. You will flee from it. Rather than playing with it, flirting with it, toying with it, getting into it. People get into it because they don't realize what the Lord's done for them. Or they forget. We need to have this clearly portrayed before us. Our Jesus being crucified for us, descending down into the heart of the earth and taking all of hell's punishment, all of the fury of God upon him for that sin and for every sin. Can you say amen? We got to remember that. Say, praise God, Jesus paid an awful price to free me from that, and I ain't playing around with it. I receive what God has done for me. I am appreciative. I recognize. I put myself in remembrance of what he's done for me. And that's why we partake of communion. It's to put ourselves in remembrance of what the Lord has done for us. It means so much to us when we have an understanding of these things. Thank God, friend. We don't have to drink that cup anymore. Devil tries to come along and get you to drink that. See, now see, the devil is still trying to come along, and he'll put that cup in your hand. And God says, awake! Like those disciples sleeping in the garden. Wake up! You who are drunk with these afflictions, with these curses, wake up! Christ has redeemed you from that curse. You don't drink that anymore. You need to take that thing and shove it right back in the devil's face and say, drink it up, devil. You got all eternity to enjoy the full wrath of Almighty God. But as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Hey! Glory to God. Hallelujah. Woo-hoo-hoo. Yes, Lord. We're going to serve the Lord. Shove it right back in the devil's face. I don't care if he comes with you with a sniffle, with a sore throat. You said, nope, that was in the cup. Jesus drank that thing for me. I'm not drinking it. And shove it right back in the devil's face. Put it back in his hand. Put it back in his hand. Put it back in his hand. Make it all backfire on the devil. Hallelujah. Everything he tries to put on you that Jesus already bore in himself, you need to put it back on the devil and say, thanks anyway, bless God, I've been redeemed from that, I am free from that, hallelujah, I am the redeemed of the Lord, and I say so. I'm healed. The devil's afflicted. Don't you lie down and go, well, God is sovereign, as the devil walks all over you as you lie there like the street. Get up! Get up! Woo, hallelujah! Get up! Shout! Get up! Wake up! Hallelujah! Tell the devil, I'm the redeemed of the Lord. And I know it. See, the devil knows if you know. And if you know, you know. And you could have an attitude about you. Praise God. I know I'm redeemed. I know what he's done for me. I know what he's done for me. He's healed my body. He's delivered me. Hallelujah. Woo! Glory to God. Pray, I'm thinking of Peter right now. There's a gentleman in New York. His name's Peter. He's been live streaming all the services. And he's given his life to the Lord. He's in New York right now watching this service probably. And I'm just thinking about you, Peter. And I'd encourage you. They say he's got leukemia. Well, guess what? You go and get yourself some bread and some juice, and you sit down and you partake of the Lord's table, and you just worship God for what he's done for you, and you receive your healing. You receive the cup of blessing and call yourself blessed in the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Come on, give God a shout in this house. Hey! Woo, hallelujah. Yeah! Oh, yeah! I'm blessed. Makes me want to sing about it. I'm blessed. You can't curse whom God has blessed. You can't curse whom God has blessed. I'm blessed. I'm blessed coming in, and I'm blessed going out. I'm the head and not the tail. I'm above and not beneath. I'm blessed. Ah, yeah, yeah. Oh, hallelujah. Everything the devil tries to send my way. Every curse he tries to bring my way, it turns into a blessing. In the name of Jesus. Every cup of blessing. No, every cup of the curse. Every cup of trembling becomes a cup of blessing. Hallelujah. Because I'm blessed. Yeah. 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 Oh, hallelujah. Woo! Glory to God. Come on. If you've ever shouted for UK or Louisville, you need a shout for Jesus. You need a shout. Yeah! Ah, shout for your redemption. Shout for your healing. Shout for your happiness. Shout! Yeah! Woo! Shout because he's good. Shout because he's here. Shout if you're happy. Shout if you know it. Yeah! Hallelujah! Time to get drunk in the Holy Ghost. You've been drunk on the Lord's fury. You've been drinking the wine of the devil. But now, bless God, it's the blessing of the Lord that you're receiving and believing and getting intoxicated with. Oh! Sometimes you just gotta tell the devil, enough's enough. I know the truth, and now I'm free. Hey! Shout, I'm free. I'm free. I'm free indeed. Yeah! Hallelujah. I just want to dance, dance, dance. Hallelujah. All day, all night. I just want to dance, dance, dance.
Glory to God. Boy, I preached myself happy this morning. I hope somebody else has gotten a hold of this, and they're not going to let the devil serve his wine anymore to them. Somebody shout, I'm done. Get me a hanky. Why? Because it's camp meeting time. Come on, hey! And the Lord's moving, praise God. What you got, honey? Come on. Pray in the Holy Ghost. All right, here we go.
Just a few things that came to me. One of them was I wrote it down exactly how I got. There's just a concern about something on your tongue. And then all of a sudden it dawned on me. All of a sudden you started talking about, speaking and all of that. I was like, whoa. But who's got a concern? There's something on your tongue, and there's physical, and there's a concern there. What's on your tongue, Zach?
Mess up your taste buds and things, and it's been getting really rough, and it feels like it's been cut a whole bunch in a whole bunch of places, and it's been hurting a lot, and I just like it's
all right. Well, there's the tongue. Is that the only one? Amen. Okay. And then the second one, just concerning seizures. I wrote it down. It just seems that it's a demon, and came in through a demon of fear, spirit of fear, but it's going to be driven out by the declaration of faith. So who, seizures? Is it a child back there? I don't know, but who's dealing or has dealt with seizures? Seizures. Is someone coming up?
Kim's coming up.
Okay. And then there's just one more here. We'll see. What's up with that with seizures, Kim? Seizures, and they don't know why, and she keeps falling and hitting her head. Well, that's definitely for Miss Jean.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it came in through a spirit of fear.
That's why she hasn't been here. Her mom hasn't been to church quite a bit.
She had pneumonia, and now she's dealing with seizures and hitting her head. And
so it came in through a spirit of fear. And it's going to be driven out by the declaration of faith this
morning. Thank you, Jesus. And here's these young girls.
What's
here.
Going on here?
My mom keeps having seizures.
Okay.
Thank you, Jesus.
I just went blank on your Tanya. Your mom's name is. Okay. And then lastly was, blood platelets. And I was like, yeah. So I turned to Nurse Emily. And I'm like, I don't even know what blood platelets were, but what I just thought of blood platelets, and what I immediately thought of was that, honestly, the first thought was that they were low. It just seemed they weren't at the right, and it just seemed like they were low. And so anyway, I passed a note to Emily saying blood platelets, and she wrote, a blood cell that helps the body clot, made in the bone marrow. Example, if you cut yourself, they go to the area, unplug it up. So that made perfect sense to me then. Someone that has low blood platelets, then that would mean then the blood is not able to clot correctly and things. Who would that be? There's a blood platelet count that needs to come in balance.
Linda.
And so what, come on over here, Lynn. What is that about?
I went to the doctor and he told me that I had to upgrade my blood thinners because my blood plates were too low.
I did not know that. She is my sister-in-law, but I didn't know that.
Yeah, she knows we don't know.
But I only take like 20 milligrams once a day. So now he wants me to upgrade it twice a day, 20 milligrams.
Because your blood platelet is low. Well,
thank you,
that changes today.
It's a curse.
Amen. And so I saw you came up. What's going on with you, Jamie?
Seizures. My father had seizures his whole life. Here recently, I've been getting them.
Uh-huh. Wow. No.
That's why I didn't make it Friday night to the men's thing. I was driving here and kind of had one when I was driving, and I was like, yeah, I turned around and went back.
Lying devil.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
He's in big trouble.
Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Jesus.
We're so grateful for your words, Lord. These specific ones you have called out this morning. We're so grateful for your mighty Holy Spirit and your anointing, God, that destroys these yokes and removes these burdens. It's because of the anointing. And so we thank you, Lord, for that healing anointing right now, going in, and just on that word alone, that tongue, healed in Jesus' name. Back to normal, the way God did design your tongue. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen. And so there it is. Let's go. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. You're going to see that change. You're going to feel that change. You're going to know it. We want to hear about it, of course. Of course, we heard, remember, last Sunday morning, prayer was so powerful. This wasn't even, we didn't even start service yet. Had a word of knowledge about lumps. A few ladies, Kim Strange, raise your hand, had a lump in her breast. She, after prayer, before service, she went out, checked, and it was completely gone. Amen. And Cindy Sumner, same thing. Hallelujah. And
Miss Kim.
Huh?
Kim over here.
Kim who? Kim. Yeah, I just said Kim Strange.
No, Kim. Kim and.
Oh yeah, what happened with Kim? So she came in, serve it. Tell us, Kim, what happened with you?
I was in Bible study, and when I come into service, I seen three of these women I've been strongly connected to. The other one I didn't know, and I was thinking, oh my, I wish I would have been in here because I was actually born with a congenital breast disease with hemangiomas. The doctors told me I would have to look after it all of my life. So as I went home, I said, well, let me feel this lump I have here, God. And I was like, oh, no. And I started feeling it, and they were completely gone. Every one of them were gone. And I was...
Isn't God amazing? I forgot all about that. So here Kim comes into service and hears the testimonies of her sisters. Oh, you know, how these lumps were just amazingly gone. And she was like, oh, I wish you know me. And she goes home, she checks, and they were gone.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. It's a curse. He's redeemed
we're
us.
We're too
praise
blessed to be
God.
Cursed. Ooh. Hallelujah. So we thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, we speak to that blood plate number, and we say, down that low, you cannot remain. We speak to those numbers to rise, even now in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord. Your glory, your glory, your glory, your glory. Upon your girl, your glory upon your girl, your glory upon your girl, in there, getting in there and changing that for your glory, Lord. Thank you, Father.
Oh, his power is flowing.
Made normal in Jesus' name.
Woo! Hallelujah. Somebody shout, she's healed. Glory to God.
And blood plates are normal.
Blood plates are normal.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Glory to God.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you for Jamie, Lord.
Jesus bore that.
Thank you, Father.
You don't have to take it. He took the sin.
Yes.
And he took the curse.
Yes, Lord. So we don't take it. Nope. And that demon of fear that had access through to try to bring this thing even now upon you, we rebuke it and we command it must go now. That demon that would try to cause those seizures, in Jesus' name. You ain't welcome around here no more, no more. You ain't welcome around here no more. Woo! Woo! Thank you, Lord. Free, free, free. Thank you, Father. Ha-ha. No seizures with me. No seizures with me. I'm free, free, free. Why don't you go ahead and say it? Hallelujah. Amen, free. Amen, amen. Access denied. The glory and the anointing applied.
Oh, yeah.
In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Father.
What'd you say?
Good.
He said, I feel
it
good.
Felt good.
I feel yeah. good.
Something's going on.
Something's going on. Yeah, something's going on. Jesus is going on.
Woo!
Hallelujah.
Woo, 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 woo. And we thank you as Kim stands in for Sister Jean, Father. Oh, we thank you. You have shown that demon. You've shown him out. That spirit of fear came through. Mercy. Came through, no doubt. So we pray for your mercy upon Jean.
Oh, yeah.
And we thank you now for your anointing that goes in and drives out that demon. In Jesus' name. And we declare to her as we are here, Jean, no more seizures.
No more.
You. So be it. Shout amen.
Hallelujah.
So be it. And for her mom, for Tanya, Father, the same thing we declare to say. Your mercy is new every morning.
Thank you.
And we receive that afresh even now for Tanya today. And we declare no more seizures. And may her story bring you glory. It drives out that fear. No more seizures here. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So be it.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
Released in Jesus' name. Hallelujah.
Testimonies we'll want to hear.
Isn't God amazing? Praise God. Brother David Thompson, how you doing today? He came Friday night, what was it? Sinus issues, big time. Had gout, right, in the foot. Yeah, but Friday night, right? Come on! Now the devil had to lie down. You're walking on him. Try to get you to lie down. But Friday night he was hurting after service. He came up to me and immediately the hand released. And he knew, he received it. He walked out of here limping. Came back Saturday morning, he's completely healed. Brother Willie comes in this morning in terrible pain. He said, I wasn't going to let the devil keep me from coming to church. He had gout. He's already been to the doctor a couple times, but his foot turned black or something like that. It's pretty nasty. And then, he's trying to mess with you this morning, really bad swelling. He couldn't get his shoe on this morning. It was so swollen. He showed me his foot. You could see it. And we just loved on Jesus in my office, right? And how you doing? Hallelujah. We both ran around the office this morning. That's before we even got out here. We were running around the office this morning. Presence of God. Glory to God. And he put his shoe right on. Just slipped it right on. He had no problem getting his shoe on. Jesus is alive. I'm too blessed to be cursed. Shout, I'm blessed. You can't curse whom God has blessed. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Just love him for a moment. Come on. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for all these. Calling these out, Lord. Helping us to get our faith on it so we can just annihilate these things, Lord. We thank you right now. We take hold of your blessing. We take hold of your blessing. And we apply it to any area of weakness in our life. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. glory to God. Hallelujah. Partake of the bread. Partake of the cup. Have communion at home. Eat, partake. Every time you bless your food, put yourself in remembrance of what Jesus did for you. Turn every meal into a communion meal. Right on. Bless it, thank him, praise him, and say, "Hoo-hoo-hoo, he blesses my bread and water and takes sickness from the midst of me." Jesus bore it all. Hallelujah. Glory to God. God bless you. I love you. Enjoy the rest of your nice warm day.